You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis from Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show as we take our show on the road. January 14th and the 17th, we'll be going to sunny Long Beach, California to investigate one of the top five haunted spots in the world, the Haunted Queen Mary. Joining us on our journey are the lovely ladies of TV's The Ghost Hunters, Donna LaCroix and Lisa DuValery, paranormal investigator Patrick Burns from Court TV's hit new show, Haunting Evidence, and psychic-sensitive Chris Fleming from Dead Famous on the Biography Channel. Together, we'll explore the mysteries and history of this famous floating haunted playground. Joining us will be some other special guest speakers and authors. It's a great chance to meet others that are involved in the paranormal and share your interests. For more information and prices, visit our website at darknessradio.com, then click the Trips tab, then click on the Queen Mary. Remember to check back for information on upcoming trips as well, and tune in live each Sunday night to hear a new episode with Dave and Tim and their guests covering all aspects of the paranormal on the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Try not to fall asleep. We'll only give you nightmares. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I thank you very much for joining us this evening. Happy New Year's to all of you that have tuned in to share your evening with us. We thank you very much. This is our anniversary show. That's right, for 1 year we've been on the air. Tim and I started the show last year. January 1st kicked it off, and here we are a year later, and we want to thank all of the listeners and all the great guests that we've had through the year that have been willing to come and share their time with us. And yeah, I can't even begin to tell you how much we appreciate all the support and effort that you've done for us through the last year. Again, please keep it up. Let people know about the show. We're just going to keep getting bigger and better. And we're offering up different paranormal trips as we're growing as well. We're going to be doing some of the greatest haunted spots across the United States. And hopefully by the end of the year, we're going to be looking to go out of the country to perhaps even to Transylvania. So stay tuned. Check our website at darknessradio.com and click on the Trips tab to see what's going on. We have a trip coming up to the Stanley Hotel where we're going to be returning to the Stanley at the end of March. Tickets are moving fast. So if you have an interest, make sure to check it out. We have about 10 tickets left for the Queen Mary event that's going on the 14th through the 17th of January. Again, that's another great trip. And it's been a real pleasure to meet so many of you face-to-face, live, and actually get the chance to talk with you. This evening on our show, for the New Year's show, we've got a good friend of our show who's been with us in the past. Keith Johnson and Carl Johnson, the demonologist twins, are with us. They're paranormal investigators. They're also co-hosts of a TV show called Ghosts Are Near. And you can also check out their website, which is nearparanormal.com. Is that right, Keith?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening on New Year's and celebrating our one-year anniversary with us. We appreciate having you here.
And Carl and I would like to wish you a happy anniversary in our own way.
Sure.
Happy anniversary.
Very nicely
Aww.
Done.
Aw. Just had to get that in.
You guys are excellent. That's very good. Thank you. Demonology singing twins, Tim. I think we've got a whole new act here. We're going to have to get you guys on our trips and have you out there singing and dancing.
Now we need a quartet. We need you and Tim for that.
Yeah, good luck with all that. So we're having Keith and Carl on the show, as I mentioned, because we cover the different aspects of the paranormal, and we're talking to them about demonology. And in the last few weeks, we've been talking to demonologists like Adam Bly, talking about the different stages of possession and the different things that occur. And spending time with you tonight, I don't know if you were able to dig up some new evidence to let us hear, too, to kind of creep out the listeners. If we can, we'll get to that in a little bit here. But let me ask you, with possessions, do you see an upswing. Are there more possessions going on now than there were, say, 10 years ago?
You know, I think it actually has increased, and I also think we're hearing about it more, whether it was more covered up before or what. I think it's much more out in the open now because of TV shows, you know, like Ghost Hunters, and it's really, really out there. I think it's much more in the public eye with movies like The Possession of Emily Rose, which, of course, we all know was based on an actual true story. So I think it's getting more notoriety. I think it's getting more attention. But, yes, I do think demonic activity in general seems to be on the increase. And I've talked with others who are in the field, and they also agree that it does seem to be on an upswing for whatever reason. I think it's a sign of the times, actually.
When you're called in to an investigation or a case where there's possession or oppression on hand going on, what do you bring that makes you experts in this field? I mean, are you able to do the exorcisms on your own, or do you need to bring in clergy? You know, exactly what is your role in these cases when you deal with it?
Whenever possible, we do involve clergy, and it will be clergy of the client's faith. That's not always feasible. It's not always possible. Many times they've tried to call in clergy, and frankly, the clergy that they've contacted just doesn't know how to deal with this or doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Most people find this a very uncomfortable topic, and clergy is no exception. We do sometimes work with specialized clergy who have worked with this before, so whenever possible, we do call them in. There's sometimes when it's an emergency situation where we have to deal with it ourselves. Say if somebody is suddenly gone under a spate of possession, or they're seemingly just about to, where you feel you're in personal danger, I will use scripture, and I will use key phrases, and also I will use my personal faith to try to protect myself and everyone else who's around me as well. And sometimes you have to make a split-second decision as far as that goes.
Keith, when you're doing an exorcism or an expulsion, out of 100 cases that you've worked, how many times have you just thought, holy, I'm over my head, this is crazy?
Well, there's been times I've never backed out of a situation yet. There's been times...
yet, but the year is young, right?
Right. You never know what tomorrow will bring, and
right.
I always say, Lord willing, whatever happens with the next situation or the next case, but... there have been times where I've had to pull back and regroup, where I've had to step outside. I need a breath of fresh air. I've got to spend 10, 15 minutes by myself. And, of course, in this situation where you need specialized help, like as we're speaking about with a specialized clergy, you need to sometimes say, okay, we're going to check with people. We're going to come back next week or next month, however long it takes. Sometimes people want a quick fix. They say, well, you can just come in and do the exorcism, can't you? And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. There have been times when I myself have cast out spirits, but that's a very, very rare situation. Usually, I prefer to work with the clergy, to leave it to the clergy to do this. I can assist. I have no trepidations at all about assisting.
Now, when you cast them out, Keith, where are they going?
Where are they going? They're going into... I guess you would call it the abyss. See, these entities live in a different astral plane than we do. They're like trans-dimensional, and they go out of the body, and they're in a state of torment when they're out of this physical body, which they've been inhabiting, or out of a house. When they're kicked out of a house, they try to stay in the region. They try to stay in the area, and they try to work their way back in. There's been numerous instances we've had where people are under spirit oppression or possession, where the spirit keeps trying to work its way back in. That's why we take special precautions to bless the person and the entire house, the entire property, the perimeter around the house. And most of what we do, actually, Sandra and I will take the time to counsel a family on ways they can prevent the spirit from coming back and trying to attack them again. Because certain people will open up windows figuratively for these spirits to come in, because usually when there is spirit oppression, somebody has to, or a family has to work together to change their lifestyle, at least change something in their lifestyle, just to make it more positive, more togetherness, to further their own communication with each other. So Sandra and I do spend a great deal of time counseling families to do that.
When you are called in to do this and you're doing it, do you ever, have you ever slipped the Mickey to these creatures, you know, slipped a little holy water into their iced tea and had them drink it? Will that do any good?
Well, what I've done, actually, when it's a test of possession or severe spirit oppression.
Right.
When there's certain things I will do. Once in a while, I'll anoint my hands with blessed oil or blessed water, and I will maybe just lightly touch the person or take that person's hand and sometimes see what a reaction I get. Most of the time, I will get no reaction. Once in a while, though, this person has no awareness that I've done this, I have gotten a reaction. And sometimes they don't even know that they flinched, that they've suddenly turned away, they can't face you, and they may have no awareness or recollection that they've done this, but you can actually see that they kind of seize up. And in very, very rare cases, they'll cause them to be taken over and to become very defensive, but that is extremely, extremely rare. Plus, that's a very potentially dangerous situation, too, so you want to make sure you have a good idea what the situation is and what you're getting into at the time.
Now, when you say they don't flinch, the ones that haven't been bothered, does that mean that then you believe that they're probably not possessed?
Not necessarily, but it could be like a lesser degree of oppression, or maybe the spirit doesn't have quite as much of a hold over them. At least you know what degree it is, or at least you have a better idea what the degree of their actual spirit oppression is if they don't react. And sometimes that's a little safer on everybody, too.
I don't know if this is going to sound like a stupid question or not, Keith, but bear with me on this.
There are no stupid questions.
Are there different religious demons that you deal with? If could Tim be taken over by a Hindu demon and your Catholic or Christian exorcism rites won't work on him, but it's a Hindu demon that's inside? I mean, do you know what I'm getting at? Could there
right.
be a different form of,
exactly.
of religious, you know, a Jewish demon, a Hindu demon, a Buddhist demon, something like that?
This is my personal experience. In my personal experience, I've come across different kinds of demons. Say, if I was working with a family who was Orthodox Jewish, and so the spirit that came across was in the form of a dibbuk, which is their version in Judaism and the Kabbalah. That's their version of a demon, would be a dibbuk. However, I personally, no matter what the origin of the spirit is, the demonic spirit, I personally have not come across one that will not react violently or at least try to avoid the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the Christian stance which I take, they do seem always to react to that in my personal experience, because that is my personal belief as well, and that's my personal faith. That's where I'm coming from. And I know other people have spoken of that too. Even
sure.
if it is a Hindu deity, it will react strongly to the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that's my personal experience and what I've experienced from talking to others. Others may have a different stance on that as well, but that's my personal take on it.
Well, we have a question coming in from Sentinel off our boards, and I'm not sure if I'm reading the question right, so Sentinel, as I ask this, if I'm wrong, please correct me. They want to know if a possessed person has ever physically harmed the host. Let me see. What is it, Tim?
I think what they're trying to ask is either has a possessed person ever physically harmed you, Keith, or the person that is actually inside? One or the other.
Right, the host.
Both.
Right.
Right. Right. Well, the host would be the person that is taken over and is possessed. Yes, unfortunately, there are times where the person will exhibit very destructive behavior, self-destructive. Sometimes it's not always violent. Sometimes it's more prolonged, such as with alcoholism or drug abuse of some sort. Sometimes, though, it will be very, very severe self-inflicted wounds, such as burning themselves or throwing themselves. And there's even examples in Scripture of that, where possessed individuals will throw themselves into the fire, or they'll slash themselves with sharp objects. And this does happen today, too, where certain individuals will, if they can't harm the people that are trying to do a deliverance session or cast them out, they'll turn on themselves and try to do severe harm for themselves. So sometimes these people do have to be watched very, very carefully, and you have to be very careful when approaching an individual who may be under possession.
Do you feel that, you know, when you're dealing with people that are in a possessed state like this, and they're, you know, they're full-blown, you know, you're in the fray of things with it, can they, or how often do the possessed person, how often do they die while you're trying to do the exorcism? Or that you're aware of that die during exorcisms, maybe not while you've done it specifically,
right.
But I mean, is that a real risk?
I've never experienced somebody dying during a deliverance session. It's very, very rare for that to happen. I've read case histories where it has happened, but it's extremely, extremely rare. Like in the case where possession of Emily Rose was based on, where the woman actually died from malnutrition, but that was a very, very prolonged period, too, that she was actually starving. And medically, the actual young German woman who was involved in this possession,
right,
she should have died months before she did. I mean, it was actually a miracle that she was sustained without eating or taking in nourishment for as long as she did. It's very rare for somebody to die as a result of this, but it has happened.
Okay.
Yep.
Before we've got, you know, not a whole lot of time left in the show this evening. Do you have any other evidence that you're able to share with us at this point? Any of the audio or anything that you have with you currently?
I have some audio right here.
Okay.
Right here.
Yeah, that'd be great. Can you give us a little background about what we're going to hear here and then play it for us?
Okay. This is actually from Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is the Baker Mansion. Now, we've had some complaints. Actually from other investigators, too, because this house is a tourist attraction and it's known to be severely haunted. The room of Sylvester Baker, people have been scared out of that room, even investigators. One investigator I know he went running down the stairs, knocking people aside. He's usually a very, very nice gentleman, but
right,
he ran down the stairs knocking people aside because something came up in the back of him, touched him on the shoulder, and told him to get out. And this is where Sylvester Baker lived in his latter years, and he actually died in that room. And we weren't actually doing an EVP session, like asking questions, but this is what we got. We did get a voice, and you'll hear people talking in the background because there were a number of other investigators, too.
Okay. Well, we'll be quiet and see what we can hear then.
Right. I don't know if you could hear that. But it was a voice saying, get out.
Yeah, I heard the get out pretty clearly. Now, was that an EVP or was that actually coming from the possessed person?
Actually, that was actually an EVP that we didn't hear at the time until we played the tape back later.
Can you play that one more time for us so we can hear it again?
Sure. Yep.
Oh, that's really clear.
Yeah, that was a clear EVP, and we were very lucky to get that.
Okay.
As I said, we weren't actually trying to get it. It just did come out when we played back the tape. It was there.
Okay. How about what's the next one you have for us?
The next one is, this is from, let me see what I've got. I have one from Brooklyn, New York, and I am working on a book right now where it's actually true cases where I've been involved with and with other groups as well. And this is actually a voice that came out in a room where we were doing the interview where a woman's name was said.
Now, could you hear it during the actual interview?
No, this is another one we didn't hear until we actually played the tape back.
Okay.
But it is a recognizable voice and a recognizable name. Pick that up now. That was actually a very quiet one. That was a voice saying, quite right.
Quite right?
Yes.
Well, at least it's very polite.
Yes.
Quite right.
They called it Mellow Yellow.
That's right. Now, I'm just curious, Keith, when you and Carl are called out onto these investigations, you know, I Adam Bly had mentioned in a talk that we saw not too long ago that one of the theories of possession, we saw it at the end of the Exorcist movie when Father Damien gets over Reagan and he says, take me, yeah. and it leaps. Yeah. Is that an approved form of exorcism, trying to get the demon out of one human into another?
No, that is not recommended. That is extremely, extremely dangerous. Because
will they do it? Will the demons
will do
it?
That.
Okay.
They will do it. If somebody says, come into me, why don't you take me on? That's a perfect invitation. Usually the demon will take that person on if invited to do so in that manner. That does not mean, though, that the other person, that the victim, the host, is immediately delivered from that spirit. The spirit may still have a hold on that person, but it will launch out and attack the other person, and that could cause problems for that other person down the line.
Well, now, I believe you said in a prior conversation that most times during a true possession, it's really not just one spirit that's there.
Right.
It's usually, or demon, it's one upper-class demon and then kind of a bunch of underlings.
This is true. Usually there are spirits, higher demons, that are in the sidelines where you won't know they're there unless you bring them out. You use provocation to make them reveal themselves. And they are feeding the lesser spirits, which are the foot soldiers, so to speak. These are the very base animalistic demonic entities, the ones that are involved in possession, the ones that do the mayhem. They are being controlled and energized, actually, by higher spirits. So I always try to do a binding. Those higher spirits, I symbolically cut the cords that are feeding these lower spirits from the higher spirits so that they're separate, so they will not be receiving this energy. That makes them a lot easier to cast out. And also the higher spirits, I do a binding on them, so they will be bound. They will not be allowed to interfere. That doesn't mean you destroy them or that you totally inactivate them. It's a binding. It's a temporary situation, but you're binding them while you're getting rid of these lesser entities, and then you're trying to stop or nullify the higher forces as well.
Why do you think that... Why do they take over humans? What do they gain from taking over our flesh? Yeah, I mean, they seem to be pretty powerful on their own. Why would they come in,
right.
you know, and take us over?
There's actually two reasons for that. One is because we're created in God's image, however you want to interpret that. We have free choice. We've been given free choice. We can make our own choices. We can love. We can hate. We're basically, in that way, we're in the image of God. And we're very much loved by God. So the demonic entity wants to debase that in a way as an insult to God, to hurt God's property and insult God that in that way by debasing us into an animalistic form. Another reason is because they're extremely, extremely envious of what we have, that we have the gift of free will, that we have life, that we have our physical senses. Yes, they are much more powerful than us, but they are in a state of torment. I wouldn't want to be in that state because that state literally is hell, what they're in. They are in a constant state of torment. They will do anything, literally anything, to escape it. The best way for them is to get into a human body, to take over that body, and live through us. They're extremely envious of our gift of life. That's another reason why they try to take over a human vessel.
Well, then that begs the question, Keith. You know, if you these demons want to get out, and, you know, they don't like being this tormented creature in hell, and they get into a human, you'd think they'd try to acclimate themselves to as normal and human as possible so that they could live out somewhat of a normal existence.
Right.
Why would they do tormenting things and horrifying things when they're in the flesh body? Why wouldn't they, you know, this is like got to be a break for them. Holy crap, I get to sit in a hot tub and eat Big Macs. Why would they,
right.
you know, why would they act like idiots and, you know, end up getting cast out all the time? Or is that just kind of the conundrum God gave him? He makes them that way so that, you know, they can't stay for too long.
Well, it's their nature. Their nature is they're like a disease. They're destructive. Yes, they want to take over the host, and they find it very sweet in the body, but their ultimate goal is to destroy their host, or at least manipulate their host into a dehumanized state. It's not like as if it was a human spirit taking over a physical body, that they want to relive their life. This is a debased, inhuman, animalistic spirit that has never existed in human form as we know it. And it is, it hates us, it's very envious of us, so it loves to destroy. It loves to destroy the human body. It loves anything to do with death or destruction or decomposition of the human body. And that is the reason why, because it's ferocity, it's just in its nature to destroy and to harm. There's nothing positive about the demonic spirit, nothing good whatsoever. It's the total antithesis of anything that is positive.
Dream Angels from our board has a question. She wants to know, or he wants to know, how do demons come to haunt a house? Portal or a negative, is it a portal or a negative household that does that, bring them in, or is it just that they can choose to haunt anywhere they want?
There's a number of reasons, but usually it's because of invitation. Something has happened along the line where a demonic spirit has been. It could be long before the house even existed. Could have been something on the property. We often hear that a house is built on or near an Indian graveyard.
Right.
And it's been violated. Usually, or somebody's practiced something in the occult for some reason. A perfect example, the Lizzie Borden house in Fall River.
Right.
Now, that's haunted because of what happened there. There was a double homicide. Whoever was actually guilty of it, two homicides did take place in the same day, and that would be the reason a house like that is haunted. There's also a weakness sometimes in the fabric of our dimension that allows these spirits to come through. It's permeable, and it is almost like a portal, like a window where they actually come through a vortex, where they're actually able to come through in a certain area, and they come and go. It's kind of along the lines of the Bermuda Triangle, because they are transdimensional.
Okay, so it's a portal sense. It just happens to be one specific place in time and space.
Usually it is, yes.
Sentinel wants to know from the boards, has a possessed person ever said anything to you directly or Carl that only you would know, like, you know, your grandfather's here and, you know, says something about, you know, like in the Exorcist, you know, automatically the mother was being called in, you know, and the voice and everything like that. Do you get that where it'll pretend to be with a loved one or relative, or will say something that only you would know? And do you sit back and go, Jesus, how the hell did that happen? How did they know that?
We've never personally experienced that, but I always do a protection. I do a prayer protection intentionally so they will not be able to find hidden knowledge about me. And there's always that possibility, but I will not let them get into my mind. I always pray for protection so they will not be able to know hidden knowledge about me. And there was a possessed person who did try that one time. Carl and I were involved in an exorcism procedure once where a possessed person tried to halt the exorcism by saying, I want you two to come over to me, you two brothers. Come over to me. I'm going to tell your future. I'm going to tell your fortune. And it started telling us, your mother is going to get sick. Your mother is coming down with an illness very soon. But you're going to call me in. I will heal her. That way she will know that I have power and you will all know. So I just said, by the grace of Jesus Christ, I don't believe you. And she just stopped automatically. So there was an attempt to do something like that. She kind of with our heads, but I just didn't allow it.
Well, Keith, for the people out there that are concerned and they're getting into the paranormal field because of shows like Ghost Hunters and Most Haunted and Dead Famous, and they're getting involved in this, what, if anything, would you like to say to protect these people or to give them a real insight that this isn't just a game, this isn't just fun and games and going out to prove to yourself the paranormal? What could you share with our listeners so that they walk away this evening maybe a little more protected or a little bit more of an understanding of what's going on out there?
Right. It's not something that you have to constantly be afraid of. In fact, I don't think you need to really be afraid at all as long as you're taking the right precautions. I would not go in defying it under my own power. I would not challenge it under my own power by any means. I would not play head games with it. Knowledge is the best power, and if you don't toy with it, if you don't tempt it, if you don't challenge it, then usually it will leave you alone. And usually if it is starting to oppress you, a quick prayer in the name of Jesus Christ or whatever your religious affiliation is usually will keep it at bay. There are exceptions to that. But if you feel you're in a position where you are being oppressed, I would seek help. Sure, a lot of people are afraid they're going to be laughed at, but I would seek help. I would confide in people. find a reputable organization that has dealt with demonic spirits before, and just contact them and confide in them, because that's the best thing you can do. Knowledge is power, and have protection.
Great.
And I know somebody like Chris is in danger sometimes because of his particular sensitivity. Anybody who's a sensitive isn't particular. They have to do particular protection because of this.
Right. And people can go to you for help by going to nearparanormal.com, correct?
Yes, nearparanormal.com. That is correct.
Great. Well, Keith, I can't thank you and Carl enough for joining us this evening and spending a little bit of time with us for your New Year's Eve. As we approach the top of the hour, again, let us just wish you a very happy New Year's Eve. Thank you for spending our anniversary here, and we'll talk to you again in 07.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Keith. Take care.
God bless you.
God bless you as well. Good evening, and thank you for listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after the top of the hour.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.